Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
The people united will never be defeated!
Crackdown on campus. Over 200 students at Columbia University and City College of New York are arrested in massive police raids to break up Gaza solidarity encampments. We'll get the latest. The raid on Columbia came 56 years to the day that police raided Hamilton Hall, arresting 700 people protesting racism in the Vietnam War. Then on this May Day, we go to the University of Southern California, which signed a first ever union contract for graduate student workers. The union filed an unfair labor practice charge to end campus militarization and drop charges against students and faculty. And Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu lashes out against the International Criminal Court for looking into possible war crimes by Israel in Gaza.
The International Criminal Court in The Hague is contemplating issuing arrest warrants against senior Israeli government and military officials as war criminals. This would be an outrage of historic proportions.
We'll talk to war crimes prosecutor Reed Brody. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. New York police and riot gear raided the campuses of Columbia University and the City College of New York Tuesday night, arresting more than 200 student protesters in the latest crackdown on peaceful Palestine solidarity protests on U.S. campuses. Over the past 2 weeks, police in the United States have arrested more than 1,200 protesters on campuses as students set up encampments, calling on schools to divest from Israel. The raid on Columbia came less than 24 hours after students occupied Hamilton Hall. It was 56 years to the day that police stormed the same hall during the historic 1968 protests at Columbia. On Tuesday night, police climbed into the barricaded building using a ladder attached to a police vehicle. The police raid on the Columbia campus. The police also broke up the Gaza Solidarity encampment, which had inspired similar encampments across the country. Columbia President Manoush Shafiq asked the NYPD to, quote, retain a presence on campus through at least May 17th, 2024. That's 2 days after Columbia's graduation. On Tuesday, faculty at Barnard College, which is part of Columbia, overwhelmingly passed a vote of no confidence for President Laura Rosenberry. Meanwhile, in California, pro-Israeli counter-protesters armed with sticks and metal rods attacked a pro-Palestinian encampment on the campus of UCLA shortly after UCLA's chancellor ruled the encampment unlawful. Pro-Israel counter-protesters launched fireworks at the encampment, which they tried to tear down. Richmond, Virginia, police deployed pepper spray against student protesters at Virginia Commonwealth University. At least 13 arrests were reported. In Louisiana, a police SWAT team raided an encampment at Tulane University earlier this morning, arresting at least 14 students. The raid came hours after the school suspended 5 students and the school's chapter of Students for a Democratic Society. In Missouri, a history professor was hospitalized Saturday after police violently threw him to the pavement. Steve Tamari, who teaches at Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville, was filming a protest at Washington University on his phone when he was attacked. His wife, Sandra Tamari, who is Palestinian-American, was arrested during the same protest. Meanwhile, at Brown University in Providence, Rhode Island, student protesters have voluntarily ended their encampment after school officials agreed to hold a vote on divesting from Israel. On Tuesday, the United Nations criticized the police crackdown on student protests. This is Marta Hurtado, spokesperson for the UN Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights.
We are troubled by a series of heavy-handed steps taken to disperse and dismantle protests across university campuses in the United States of America. Freedom of expression and the right to peaceful assembly are fundamental to society, particularly when there is a sharp disagreement on major issues, as there are in relation to the conflict in the occupied Palestinian territory and Israel.
As negotiations continue over a ceasefire in Gaza, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has vowed to invade the southern city of Rafah with or without a ceasefire deal. In a statement, Netanyahu said, quote, "The idea that we'll halt the war before achieving all of its goals is out of the question." Netanyahu's statement came hours before U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken arrived in Israel. On Tuesday, U.N. Secretary General Antonio Guterres called again for an immediate ceasefire and warned an Israeli invasion of Rafah would be a, quote, absolutely devastating tragedy.
For the sake of the people of Gaza, for the sake of the hostages and their families in Israel, and for the sake of the region and the wider world, I strongly encourage the government of Israel and the Hamas leadership to reach now an agreement. Without that, I fear the war, with all its consequences, both in Gaza and across the region, will worsen exponentially.
The International Court of Justice has rejected a request by Nicaragua to order Germany to halt exporting arms to Israel, but the court declined to throw out the case. Nicaragua had accused Germany of violating the Genocide Convention by providing military and financial aid to Israel. In its ruling, the ICJ said, quote, "The court considers it particularly important to remind all states of their international obligations relating to the transfer of arms to parties to an armed conflict in order to avoid the risk that such arms might be used to violate the above-mentioned conventions." An 18-year career diplomat has resigned from the State Department over the Biden administration's Gaza policy. Hala Rarit is the third State Department employee to publicly resign, joining Josh Paul and Anel Shilan. Rarit criticized the Biden administration's arming of Israel. She told the Washington Post, quote, "We're promoting a generational cycle of revenge that's not making Israelis any safer," she said. Haiti's new ruling on elected transitional council has picked Fritz Belizaire to be the country's new prime minister. His appointment surprised many in Haiti. Some members of the transitional council admit they don't even know who he is. Belizaire had served as Haiti's sports minister from 2006 to 2011. Meanwhile, leaders of some of Haiti's most powerful armed groups are demanding a greater role in Haiti's transitional government. Over the weekend, Jimmy Charizier, who is known as Barbecue, said, quote, "It's either we are all at the table or the table gets destroyed with all of us," unquote. New York Judge Juan Merchan fined Donald Trump $9,000 on Tuesday for contempt of court for violating a gag order nine times by publicly attacking witnesses and jurors in his hush money criminal trial. Judge Merchan warned future violations could result in jail time for the former president. Later on Tuesday, Keith Davidson, the lawyer who represented Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal, testified during Trump's criminal trial about his dealings with Trump's attorney Michael Cohen. Prosecutors showed jurors the wire transfer authorization from Cohen, the form that Cohen used to send $130,000 to Davidson on October 27, 2016, to prevent Daniels from going public about her affair with Trump before the 2016 election. In other Trump news, the former president has refused to rule out political violence if he loses the election in November. Trump told Time magazine, quote, I think we're going to win. And if you don't win, and if we don't win, you know, it depends. It always depends on the fairness of an election, unquote. In the same interview, Trump said he would, quote, absolutely consider pardoning every person convicted for taking part in the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. Florida's six-week abortion ban goes into effect today, blocking access to the procedure before many people even know they're pregnant. Last month, Florida's Supreme Court ruled abortion rights are not constitutionally protected, allowing the near-total ban to be enforced. The measure has exceptions for rape, incest, fatal fetal anomalies, and medical emergencies. Reproductive justice advocates have vowed to keep fighting as Florida's high court also ruled in favor of a November ballot referendum that, if passed, would enshrine abortion rights in Florida's constitution. In a historic move, the Biden administration's moving to reclassify marijuana as a lower-risk substance. The Justice Department has recommended marijuana be reclassified to the same category as some prescription medication. For decades, it's been deemed a Category 1 substance, along with drugs like heroin. Rescheduling would ease restrictions on cannabis research and create legal protections for medical marijuana users who face housing and employment restrictions. DEA rescheduling would not result in federal legalization. The process for the drug reclassification could take months to complete. U.S. Rowing has announced it's rescinding honors for the late Olympic rowing coach Ted Nash after an independent investigation found compelling evidence of child sexual abuse. The probe was launched after former athlete Jennifer Fox revealed Nash began abusing her when she was 13 years old. In 2018, Jennifer Fox directed the film The Tale, a narrative memoir based in part on Nash's abuse. At the time, she did not mention Nash by name. Fox publicly accused him of abuse last year when she spoke to The New York Times and Democracy Now!
And I don't doubt that Ted did good in his sport, but the reality is this other story of the horror that he inflicted on me and possibly many, many others had never been told. And I think it's very important to bring this other story out to the world now and to show this other part of the man that people put on a pedestal and made into a god. It's a very important act to stand up to power in this way for me and for others.
Go to democracynow.org to see our full interview with Jennifer Fox. And workers around the world are marking May Day today. In Britain, hundreds blockaded the government's Department for Business and Trade to demand a ceasefire in Gaza and a halt of British arms sales to Israel. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Democracy Now! Co-host Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
Well, hundreds of students at Columbia University and City University of New York were arrested last night after hundreds of police officers carrying shields and in full riot gear raided Columbia to break up a Gaza solidarity encampment set up almost 2 weeks ago that has inspired similar encampments in over 40 universities across the country, including CUNY. Students at Columbia took over Hamilton Hall a day earlier after the school began suspending students who refused to leave the Gaza Solidarity encampment. Students renamed the building Hinz Hall in honor of Hind Rajab, a six-year-old Palestinian girl killed by the Israeli military in Gaza. The police raid began after Columbia University President Manoush Shafiq sent a letter to the New York City Police Department calling for the encampment and Hamilton Hall to be cleared. She wrote, quote, I have determined that the building occupation, the encampments and related disruptions pose a clear and present danger to persons, property and the substantial functioning of the university, unquote. President Shafiq also asked the police to remain present on campus until at least May 17th, 2 days after graduation, to ensure, she said, that solidarity encampments are not reestablished. Columbia's graduation is scheduled for May 15th. Hundreds of officers entered the campus through the main gates and encircled the encampment inside last night. Police also pulled a truck outside Hamilton Hall, extended a ladder to a second-story window for a stream of officers to climb into the building. Further uptown from Columbia, at the City College of New York, police in riot gear raided the Gaza Solidarity encampment after the administration made a similar call for the police to enter campus. Scores of students and CUNY community members were arrested. Overnight, the department shared a video on social media showing officers lowering a Palestinian flag atop the City College flagpole, balling it up and throwing it to the ground before raising the American flag. Over the past 2 weeks, police have swept through other campuses holding peaceful Gaza solidarity encampments across the country. Over 1,200 students and others have been arrested. In a moment, we'll be joined by two Columbia University students who are on campus during the police raid. But first, Democracy Now! Was on the streets last night outside Columbia. I'm Amy Goodman from Democracy Now! We're standing at 113th and Broadway. It's about 10:30 at night. The riot police have lined up here, and it is a complete frozen zone from here up to Columbia University. We understand that they've moved in on Hamilton Hall, that the students have occupied, and we understand arrests are underway, though we haven't seen it. There was a group of protesters here, but they say they're going to jail support. They're going down to one police plaza. Let's see if we can find them and ask them why they're out here. What's your name?
I'm Jeannie. I am an organizer with Warriors in the Garden. I am a first-generation Korean American. I am a shamed alumni of NYU. We are out here as people whose ethnic roots originate in the global south to stand against settler colonialism, because no matter how it looks in every form, it kills. And we will not be complicit anymore. And this is a very historic moment where our youth in our country are leading the revolution, and it is all of our responsibilities to not put that, to not just be like, oh, they're so brave, but to be in, to have that incite something within us.
My name is Sam. I'm an organizer, and I'm here to show support for the students. I think that I've been pro-Palestinian my whole life, as is my family. I'm Iranian, and we have always found the liberation of Palestinian people to be essential to our liberation as Iranians and everybody's, you know, collective liberation.
Free Palestine. We're standing at Amsterdam and 113th Street. It's about 10:30, 11 at night. Why are you here?
So I'm a Brown University alum, and as you know, one of our own, Hisham Awartini, was shot. And also, I have a Palestinian friend who told me that for speaking out on Palestine, he's been doxxed, and he's been kicked off campus. He's lost his housing and food, and he has no family here. But he feels the need to speak on it because his cousins and family members are under the rubble right now, and he can't reach a lot of his cousins. And so, knowing that, you know, there's not a lot of degree of separation between Hisham and I and our other colleague that also lost family members and has been doxxed and kicked off campus, this is the least that we can do to support our friends.
Is this why you're wearing a mask, even though we're outside?
Absolutely. And we're not wearing a mask because we're scared, but we're doing this because this is what our predecessors have told us. This is the right way to protest, and this is what we need to do to protect ourselves while also speaking and standing up for what's What's true?
So I understand there's an encampment at Brown, too, and there's a slogan, from Columbia to Brown, we won't let Gaza down.
Yeah.
Have you heard the latest from there?
So today, actually, Brown University passed a resolution in order to compromise with the students' encampments, that they're going to vote in October on divestment. So I think that's a big victory for the student encampments, for the 41 students who were arrested, and also for the students who were doing the hunger strike, as you may know. So, yeah, the agreeing to vote on divestment is a big step for the student organizers, and they're very proud of it, and I think that's the least we can do as alum to support them.
We've just spoken to some people who are supporting the students now. The bus of arrested students is coming through.
Back up.
Are these the buses?
The buses are coming up. Please back up.
These are the arrested students.
Please back up.
Are they buses?
I'm not sure who's in the buses. I know the buses are leaving. Please back up.
Right now, the police have moved in and they're on top of someone. The police have arrested someone. People are shouting shame. He's on the ground.
Let's go. Move. Back up.
What's your name?
Back up.
What's your name? Over 230 students were arrested at and around Columbia. Dozens more arrested at City College, just 20 blocks further north. When we come back, we'll be joined by two Columbia University students who were on campus last night. And we'll hear from our own Juan Gonzalez. 56 years ago yesterday, police raided Hamilton Hall. He was one of the leaders of the students at Columbia, one of the leaders of the revolt. Stay with us.
Dreaming of an aspect bright and fair, but in my sleeping it was broken. But my dream, it lingered near in the farmer shining valleys where the pure air recognized all of my senses newly opened. But I waking on to the cry of the people and the power.
The Power by Patti Smith. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Over 230 students and their allies were arrested at Columbia University last night when the Columbia president okayed the presence of the New York Police Department and their raid of the university. Dozens of others were arrested just 20 blocks north at City College. For more on the police raid at Columbia, we're joined by two guests. Cameron Jones is a Columbia student with Jewish Voice for Peace. He was outside Hamilton Hall when police pushed everyone into nearby buildings and stormed the hall. Cameron is a 19-year-old urban studies major. He's joining us here in studio. And Jillian Goodman is with us, a student at Columbia Journalism School covering Columbia's ongoing student protests since the first days of the encampments. She joins us via video stream. We welcome you both to Democracy Now! Jillian Goodman, no relation that we know of. Jillian, why don't you describe what happened on campus? I mean, what's really fascinating here is the Columbia J School, the journalism school, overlooks the police raid. And in fact, Columbia journalism students and other students who were covering this event were told by police they'd be arrested if they didn't stay inside. Jillian, thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely happy to be here. That's correct, Amy. And in fact, the only reason that we were able to have access to campus, many of us in the journalism school, is that we had slept in the building the night before. They had restricted campus to only those students in residential dorms. So the only reason we were able to witness what we were able to witness is because we had stayed in the building. When police arrived, they were extremely efficient in removing all eyewitnesses, including legal observers. Myself and my colleagues at the journalism school were pushed with police batons to our backs and corralled out of the space. So we were not able to witness the arrests head on, but some journalism students were able to remain in the building to overlook the side of Hamilton Hall. But they were extremely clear and efficient that they were not to have any eyewitnesses, including the majority of press, during the time that the arrests were made.
And Jillian, was there any warning beforehand or any sense that the arrests were coming?
There had been a sense for a few hours as police gathered outside. I would say that no one knew the exact moment they were going to come in, but we knew pretty clearly within about a 30-minute window. I think there was a tremendous sense of trepidation, but also resolve on campus that I saw from a lot of the organizers. We were also served an emergency alert from emergency management that went throughout to all Columbia students, issuing a shelter in place warning in the hour before the arrests happened. And so most students were corralled into their dorm by campus safety. And that was our tell that the arrests were imminent.
We're also joined by Cameron Jones of Jewish Voices for Peace. Cameron, what did you see last night?
Yeah, so I was also one of the students who was forced into a nearby building once the police arrived on the scene. And it was very clear that the university and the police did not want any witnesses to the police brutality that was going to take place. They even pushed medics and legal observers into nearby buildings, preventing them from doing their jobs. And then we got a slew of footage from onlookers that protesters were pushed and shoved. Individuals were thrown downstairs. One individual was left unconscious for a few minutes. There was also the police using tasers on peaceful protesters and also using a smoke bomb inside occupied Hind Hall. So it's very clear that the police used very aggressive and very violent tactics to suppress peaceful protesters.
And what about you? You were outside. You didn't occupy Hamilton Hall. You were at the encampment. Do you face suspension?
As of now, I am not sure what the university will do. Unfortunately, the university has arbitrarily suspended dozens of students already, so I would not be surprised if I do end up facing suspension, unfortunately.
The response of the students to the president, although on Friday saying she would not call New York police on campus, calling in those police who raided Hamilton Hall last night.
Yeah, so the president is definitely acting in bad faith, I would say. She really seems to be doing anything in her power to suppress student activism on campus, and that includes bringing in violent police to violently arrest hundreds of people. And it really appears as though the president has not learned her lesson from arresting people a few weeks ago, because the students only come back with more fury and with more intensity in regards to our activism.
Cameron, I wanted to ask you about the role of the faculty. Many of the faculty condemned the last raid or the first raid that occurred a couple of weeks ago. Were there faculty out there trying to interpose themselves between the students and the police this time?
I did not see a substantial faculty presence, but we have had faculty very present at the encampment acting as security. And we have widespread faculty support in terms of our opinions towards the administration. Faculty is on our side in condemning what the administration has been doing.
And Jillian Goodman, you have both President Shafeek and New York City Mayor Adams painting the takeover of Hamilton Hall as a takeover by outside agitators. What was your sense of who was inside Hamilton Hall?
Yes, so I was there the night that the occupation occurred. There's no way to know exactly who was involved, but I know firsthand that there is a large student presence. And also the thing that surprised me the most was a massive student support outside. There was a human chain linked arm in arm to protect the building that was 200 students strong. And those are people that I know to be students of Columbia and Barnard in a large majority. So I think that mostly this is an effort by administration to distance these actions from the students, though I know that they are deeply resolved and in support.
Let me ask Cameron Jones. Columbia student has sued Columbia